Man, I told you I was going to be good. I just didn't know it was going to be that good. Man, that was awesome. It's great to see you on Palm Sunday, man. Welcome to Paul Ann Church. Those of you on our live stream, welcome to you on Palm Sunday, man. Congratulations. Today's a great day to be in church. And you came to church, man. Thank you for doing that. Just turn to the person beside you and say, thanks for coming to church today. Now turn to the other person beside you and say, thanks for coming to church today. So I don't have to sit by myself right here, man. Great to see you guys today, man. It's Palm Sunday. It's good to be back. I've been out of town for a while. It's good to be here today. If today's Palm Sunday, that means next week is Easter. Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a Sunday. He was arrested on Thursday, crucified on Friday, rested in the grave on Saturday, and was resurrected from the dead on Sunday. Amen. How about that, man? We got to celebrate that next week, man. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, but that wasn't enough, all right? He died on the cross to pay for your sins. He was resurrected 3 days later to give us new life, to give us new power. He doesn't just save us so we're left, you know, trying to fend for ourselves and figure out how to live this Christian life. No, man, Jesus come to do something new, new power, new life, new creation, new family, new direction. New power in your life to live a different life. This is Jesus on Resurrected Sunday. It's coming up, man. Next Sunday is Easter. So on Easter, if you're a believer in Jesus, you should go to church. Right? You should go to church, man. You should go to church. We're doing four services at Paul Land. We're doing a Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And then we're doing on Sunday, 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. All right, so take your pick. We'd love to have you come. Serve in one, go to one, serve in one, serve in one, go to another one. We'd love to have you come. Any one of those, we'd really appreciate it. 9:30 and 11 might be kind of full, but we'll have room if we have to stand, right? That'd be awesome if that would happen. So anyway, Easter's coming up next week. When you came in, you should come to church, and secondly, you should invite somebody to come with you, all right? And when you came in, you might have got a card that looks a little bit like this. And on the back of it, it's just got three places. What I want to invite you to do is just write down the name of three people that you could invite to come to church. Here's the deal. Stats show that 80% of unchurched people would visit your church if a friend just invited them. 80% of unchurched people would visit your church if a friend just invited them. So you might just think of some names of some people in your life that you know, and just invite them to come to church. You can send them a text if you like. We'll throw up an example of a text you could send. We'll put it up on the screen. Just think about all the people you could just send a text to, man. How easy would that be just to send them a text, something like that, man? We'd love to have you come. Why don't you come to church on Easter and celebrate with me, man? Just invite somebody to church, all right? All right, so today's Palm Sunday. So here's a question before us today. What's up with Palm Sunday and why do we celebrate it? What's up with Palm Sunday? What's it mean and why do we celebrate it? Now, Palm Sunday is tied in with something called the triumphal entry. It's found in all four of the Gospels, all right? But I want to look at it today in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, the Palm Sunday, also known the triumphal entry. Man, this is going to be great. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, says, when they approached Jerusalem. Now, when they approached Jerusalem, we're talking about Jesus and his apostles, as well as a group of women that traveled with him. There was a group of people that had been with him too, that had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. They all approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, so on the top of the Mount of Olives. And when he got there, Jesus sent two of his disciples, verse 2, telling them, go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her foal. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, like, why are you stealing that donkey? Say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. And Matthew quotes here Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, written 500 years earlier. Tell daughter Zion, see your king, key word, is coming to you. Gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and its foal, then they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them, and a very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches. It tells us in John 12, 13 that these branches that they were cutting were palm branches, hence the name Palm Sunday. They began to cut down these palm branches from the trees and began to spread them on the roads. Then the crowds who went ahead of those and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna," which means "Lord, save us," or "Salvation is here." "Hosanna to the Son of David," a messianic term. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And when they entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Who is this? The whole city was in an uproar saying, "Who is this?" This is the question before us today when it comes to Jesus. Who is this Jesus? It's the question everybody in the room has to answer at one time or another in your own life. Who is this Jesus? And your eternal destiny really hinges on your answer. Who is this Jesus? So I want to look at this idea today, what it was about Jesus that they were questioning. Who is this Jesus? And here's the reason they were asking, all right? So Jesus, we know when Jesus was born, Jesus basically changed time, all right? So this word BC literally means before Christ. And the word AD literally stands for, it's a Latin term, it means for the in the day of the Lord. It references the day that Jesus was born, everything in time divided before Christ and in the day of the Lord. So people would say Jesus was born in 1 AD, when Jesus was born. Now, we don't know exactly when Jesus was born, because when he was born, you know, it wasn't that consequential that another child was born in Bethlehem. But looking back at a later date, they said, man, it's a pretty significant date. So that's kind of the best time. It might have been 1 BC or 2 BC or 1 or 2 AD, but this is the day they picked when Jesus was born. He began his ministry when he was around 30 years old, when he got baptized. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. God the Father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." The Holy Spirit came down on him physically in the form of a dove and empowered him to do ministry. I'm just saying, man, Jesus got baptized. If you're a believer in Jesus, you should get baptized too, right? We saw a baptism this morning, an incredible testimony, man. If you're a believer, never have been baptized, Easter's coming. Just saying. What a day to be baptized, right? You should call up somebody on our staff and say, "I need to get baptized. How about Easter?" Okay, let's go. That'd be a great day. He was baptized and he began his public ministry, man. He was tempted by the devil himself and never sinned. Jesus was perfect, man. He began to preach, man. I just imagine when Jesus preached. And nobody could preach like Jesus, man. It's the living word preaching the word of God, the Son of God preaching the word of God, man, in the presence of God, the power of God. People themselves said, man, we've never heard anybody speak with this authority, man, with this power, something new, something different, man. You can just imagine when Jesus would preach, man, crowds flocked to hear Jesus. And Jesus did miracles, man. Think about Jesus. He would heal people. He would heal people with leprosy, an incurable disease. You could see them being healed right in front of your very eyes. They were literally healed in front of people. Man, blind people received their sight. Lame people, people that were paralyzed were able to get up and walk out the door. People that couldn't hear, deaf people would be able to hear. Demon-possessed people were set free. People with fever were set free. He healed people from a distance. He healed by laying their hands on him. There's passages in scripture where he said that every person that came to his door was always open, and he healed every person from their anxiety and their fear and their brokenness and their broken hearts and their grief, and they hurt, man. Jesus healed, and it didn't matter who they were. Jesus healed all kinds of people, Gentile people, people outside the faith, people that were far from God, tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes, they all came to Jesus, and Jesus welcomed them all, man. Jesus walked on water, fed 5,000 people with a happy meal. I mean, this guy, there's one case where he literally was in a boat and he speaks the word, peace be still, and calms an entire storm, changed the weather pattern. Crossed over the other side of a lake, cast the demons out of a guy whose name was Legion, comes back over to the other side, and a woman with an issue of blood that had been sick for 12 years gets healed just by having enough faith to touch the hem of his garment. He then goes to a guy's house that was Jairus, who had a 12-year-old daughter who had died, and brought her back to life. Man, we don't even know all the stuff that Jesus did. It says that he did so much stuff in the book of John that even if it was all written down, the world couldn't contain all the books, man. Jesus just had to be doing stuff all the time. When he was with his disciples like 2.5 years in, he takes them, and he was so popular, he left Israel to go on this little tour to spend time with his disciples. He goes to this town called Caesarea Philippi, and he gets to Caesarea Philippi, and there's all these pagan temples there. There's a pagan temple to the Greek god Pan. There's a big temple built to Caesar because the Romans worship Caesar. And he gets there and he gets his apostles together and he asks him a question, man. He says, hey, this is found in Matthew 16:13. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who is this Jesus? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said to him, well, some think you're John the Baptist and some think you're Elijah and others think maybe you're Jeremiah or some other great prophet, right? Now, what's interesting, all these people that they thought Jesus was, man, they were all dead. They didn't have any reference. They couldn't find anybody to compare Jesus to. They'd never seen anybody like Jesus. And then he asked the apostles, he said, what about you? What about you? Man, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And the apostle Peter, speaking for all of the group, said, man, we believe that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you're the Messiah, the anointed one, this long-awaited one that was talked about all the time in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was you'd anoint a king or a prophet or a priest, but God kept saying there's coming a one that's anointed by me, the very Son of God. There's going to come one. Even the woman at the well, you know, she's like, one day when the Messiah comes, he's going to explain all these things. Everybody was looking for the coming Messiah, and the disciples saw it. The Messiah, we believe you are the Messiah. And it says in John chapter 16 that after he told that to the apostles, it says, this is in Matthew 16:21, from then on, Jesus began to teach. This was a new teaching. He had never taught it before to his disciples, that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, to be killed and to be raised on the third day. So from that point on, at Caesarea Philippi, or far north you can get in Israel, he began this journey to Jerusalem with one purpose, man, to go to the cross. And on his way, he did all kinds of miracles. He went through Jericho. He raised this guy named Blind Barnabas and gave him his sight back. He went and saw Zacchaeus. He met Zacchaeus, and he entered him into the kingdom. And then he gets to Lazarus, man, who had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus brought him back to life. He had a meal with Lazarus, and everybody wanted to go meet Jesus and talk to Lazarus. Wouldn't you want to talk to Lazarus? Be like, bro, where'd you go? You died, dude. Where'd you go? What was it like? What happened the 4 days you were dead? Where were you? What do you remember? He was dead for 4 days, and Jesus brought him back to life, dude. I'm just saying, if that happened in San Angelo, man, people would want to meet that guy. And then he rolls through Bethany in this little town on top of the Mount of Olives. And if you ever go to the Mount of Olives, there's this big mountain right outside of Israel. There's the Kidron Valley. If you've ever seen a picture of Israel with the dome of the rock, it's always taken on the Mount of Olives. It's right there. He comes over the top of the Mount of Olives, man, and Jerusalem is packed. And it's packed because it's Passover week. A week long, the biggest celebration in Israel is Passover. It starts on a Sunday. It goes for a whole week, man. If you were 20 years old or older and you were a male and you lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem, you're required by law to go there. The only way you could sacrifice a Passover lamb was at the temple. You had to go. They estimate the population of Jerusalem went from 80,000 to 200,000 during Passover. So let's just think about San Angelo for a minute. If you took San Angelo and our 100,000, whatever we got, and just doubled that thing for 1 week, it'd be like rodeo week on steroids, all right? I'm just saying, you ain't eating at Franco's. Can't get a steak in the whole town, man. It's packed. You just imagine you doubled the population of San Angelo for 1 week. People be living in your house. You'd be renting your house out and moving if you could, but no, you just got to be there. It's Passover, so you're there staying in your bedrooms. They're camping out everywhere. People were everywhere. And, dude, they're fired up. It's a week-long holiday. They're fired up to celebrate the Passover. And you know what? Dude, everybody wants to see Jesus. And Jesus rolls over the top of the Mount of Olives, and he tells the disciples, go get me the foal, a donkey and the foal of a donkey. They bring it back. They throw their coats on the colt of the donkey. Jesus gets on it and starts riding it down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. And everybody in the crowd, like you, is going, I think in Sunday school one time, they told me that when the Messiah comes, he's going to be riding in on a donkey on a colt. And the disciples are freaking out, man. They know it. This is the Messiah. This is the deliverer. He's going to deliver us from these stinking Romans. And they're throwing their cloaks on the donkey. They're throwing them on the ground. People are cutting down palm branches like they would for a king. They're laying them on there. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. What's David? The greatest king they ever have. The new Son of David is going to be a Son of David, man. It's the king. People are freaking out, man, and everybody in the town sees it. You know what they're asking? Man, who is this? Who is this Jesus? Who is this, man? Now, here's the question, man. Why does Jesus do the triumphal entry? Why does he do it? Why does he get on the foal of the donkey? Why does he roll in on the day of Passover? Why does he come in the way he comes in? Why does he do it? And here's the answer to that, man. Because Jesus and God wanted everybody to know who he was. He wanted everybody to know who he was. God wanted everybody to know that Jesus was the king, that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the way. God wanted everybody to know who Jesus was, just like he wants every person of every nation to know who he is, just like God would do anything for you to know who Jesus is. God will do anything for you to know who he is. Man, he's done everything he can do so that you might know. He sent me today to preach to you so you might know who Jesus is. You ever think how much trouble God had to go through to get your attention? Just imagine, I said this in first service, just imagine how hard it was to get Willie Rojas' attention. Huh? Think of what God had to do to reveal himself to Willie. If you only knew Willie's life before he got saved, bro, you'd be amazed as I am the fact that he's standing back there. What did God have to do to get C.J. Lucky's attention, right? So he'd come and be a believer in Jesus. What's God doing in your life that you're sitting in church today hearing about Jesus? God do anything so that you might know who Jesus is. Jesus, man, he rolls in on the day of Passover, man. And when you talk about Passover, you know, Jesus entered in before Passover. So we know Passover is this great event in the history of Israel. They were in bondage for 400 plus years in slavery to Egypt. God sends them a deliverer. Everything in the Old Testament is designed to point us towards Jesus. Moses was a deliverer. He was a type of Jesus. God sent him to deliver the nation of Israel from their bondage of Egypt, just like God sent Jesus to deliver us from our bondage of sin. And Moses goes down there. Pharaoh goes, I'm not letting them go. Ain't no way, wreck my economy. So he sends all the 10 plagues. And the last plague was this, man. On this night, the angel of death is going to come through Egypt. And the firstborn son, every firstborn son in Egypt is going to die. Every firstborn son. If you got a son that's firstborn, that includes you. If you're a father who's a firstborn son. If your dad was a firstborn son. Your granddad, your uncle. We're talking about something that probably impacted every family in the entire nation of Egypt on one level or another. The firstborn son of every home is going to die on this particular night, but God says, I'm going to give you a way out. I want you to go find a lamb, a perfect lamb, 1 year old, unblemished, spotless, no problems with it. Get it on the 10th day, inspect it. Make sure that it's perfect. Make sure there's nothing wrong with it. And then I want you to kill it at twilight. Take some of the blood of the lamb, put it over the doorpost of your house. And if you by faith do that, when the angel of death comes through tonight, when he sees the blood, he's going to pass over your house. And it happened exactly like God said it was going to happen. And if you had enough faith to put the blood over your doorpost, the angel of death passed over you. But if you didn't, the firstborn son, Jesus, of course, was a firstborn son, died that night. And it was such a tragic event in the history of Egypt that they let the Israelites go. And God said, I want you to do this event every year. This is the first day of the month for you. I want you to do this every year. I want you to get a Passover lamb. I want you to keep it. I want you to inspect it. I want you to kill it to remember God's Passover. The day they got the lambs was the day Jesus rolled into town. Because Jesus is the true and better Passover lamb. He presented himself to the nation of Israel as a lamb. And you can just read it all through chapter 21 of Matthew, all through chapter 22, all the religious leaders in Jerusalem questioned Jesus. Started with the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, elders. They're all questioning Jesus, trying to find something wrong with him. Gets all the way down to about 22:46, but nobody was able they had to stop answering because they couldn't talk to Jesus because he was too good, right? He was perfect. But rather than accept him, they rejected him. And it says in Matthew chapter 24, which is known as the Olivet Discourse, he says in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus left the temple. And when he left the temple, the disciples said to him, man, look at all these beautiful buildings, Jesus, what do you think? Jesus says, I tell you the truth, man, there ain't one building left, not one stone left upon another that's not going to be torn down. When it says Jesus left the temple in Matthew 24, that's just not like he left the temple. It's the Spirit of God leaving the temple. It's the power of God leaving the temple. It's Jesus saying, this whole thing is done, man. This whole religious system, this old covenant, this sacrificial system, this temple, this way of works, this whole thing, man, it's done. This temple's going to be gone. 70 AD, the Romans destroyed it. This high priest, he's going to be gone. This temple worship, this holy of holies, this way of old covenant, man, it's all going to be gone because I came to do something new. I came to die on the cross, and when I die on the cross, there won't be any more lambs that need to be slain because I'm the final lamb that's going to be slain. I'm going to die for the sins of all the people and set them free. No need for a high priest anymore. I'm going to become their high priest. You don't have to go to a priest to have access to God. You can go straight to Jesus because Jesus lives forever. You don't have to go to a temple to enter into the presence of God or the Holy Holy to enter into the presence of God. No, the presence of God is going to be inside of you. You become a holy. You become a temple through Jesus. Jesus sets you apart. Jesus says, man, I came to do something new. And all this is going to be come away with because I am. I'm the Passover lamb. I'm the high priest. I want you to know who I am. Jesus shows up and he says, man, I want you to know who I am. And he says this, man, and I want you to know that I came for all people. I didn't just come for the religious. I didn't just come for the righteous. I just didn't come for the rich or the ones that got it all together. I came for all people. The last two people Jesus ran into before the triumphal entry, he was entering the city of Jericho, which you know is about 20 miles away from Jerusalem. He met a guy named Bartimaeus. He was blind. He was a beggar. He had nothing to give. He comes walking by and he's deaf. He's blind, but he can hear. So he says, man, what's up? And there goes Jesus is passing by. He begins to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Messianic term. He was physically blind, but he had spiritual insight. Son of David, have mercy on me. It's recorded for us in Luke chapter 18 that Jesus has this whole entourage of people. All of them are telling the guy to shut up, except for Jesus. It says this, Jesus stopped. And Jesus got places to go. He got something to do. One blind guy cries out, and Jesus stops. You know what he says to the guy? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? This guy says, man, I just want to see. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. That word well right there is a word we use for saved. Something Jesus saw his faith in him, and it changed that guy. The next guy he meets on the way out of Jericho is a guy named Zacchaeus. He was the exact opposite. He was filthy dog rich. He was a tax collector and a chief tax collector. Number one goal in his life was just to make some more money. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't see Jesus because he was short and everybody hated him. So he runs up ahead. You know the story. He climbs up into a tree. Jesus comes walking by on his way out of Jericho. He's got places to go, but when he sees Zacchaeus, man, he just stops right there, looks up at the tree. He says, this, Zacchaeus, you need to come down, man. Because I got to stay at your house today. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name before he ever got to that spot, just like Jesus knows your name. And he knows you're here. He said, you need to come down, man. I got to stay at your house. I got something for you. And Jesus explains himself to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus all at once sees Jesus for who he is, and it changed his life on the inside because he stands up and says, I tell you what, boys, if there's anybody I've stolen money from, I'm going to pay him back, and I'm going to give half my money away to the poor. This is a guy that loved riches more than anything. He given half his money away to the poor. Why? Because he had a triumphal entry of his own. This is the real triumphal entry when Jesus entered into his life. Because Jesus comes from everybody. Doesn't matter if you're a blind beggar or a tax collector, Gentile, sinner. The crowd's like mad at Jesus. Man, he went to the house of a sinner. You think Jesus is there going, Zacchaeus is a sinner? I guess I made a mistake in eating in his house. I can't use a sinner. No. Jesus died for the sinners. If you're a sinner in the room today, I got good news for you. If you're not, I got nothing. And Jesus don't either. But if you're a sinner, he came to set you free, man. You see, Jesus, the triumphal entry, man. This is a triumphal entry. God wants to reveal who he is to you, right? Because God wants the whole world to know who he is. And point number three, and he wants to use you to do it. He wants to use you to do it. And I've been out for a couple of weeks. You know, I was gone 2 weeks ago. I went on a mission trip to Peru, went up the Amazon into the crazy world. And just real quick, I just want to close with this guy. His name is Rodon. He got saved in 2016. We had a team go down there. And I wasn't on that team, but this guy gave his life to Jesus. And he says, man, I want you to come to my village. I live about an hour and a half away by boat. So in 2017, we took a team down there. Kent Terrell led the team. He's the guy that takes a trip. And I went down there with him. And we went to this Rodon's village. And we found two believers in the village. They got baptized. And he says, man, I'm going to start a church. We went back in 2019. And I'm just telling you, this village is hard to get to, man. Once you get there, they don't have anything hardly to speak of. He said, I got a little piece of property I want to buy and build a church. And so in 2020, Paul Ann, this church, gave him $3,000 to buy the land and to build a church. And then COVID happened in 2020. Nobody had been down there since. We hadn't seen anything for 4 years. We didn't know what happened. We went back this time to his village. It's smoking hot where this guy lives. And they have no run of water, really any electricity or anything. This guy built a church with the money we sent him. I took a picture of it. I want to show it to you. This is it right here. This guy's name is Rodon. He's in the stripe. Look at the church this guy built, man, huh? Look at that thing, man. This is the dude right here. Hold on. And so I got to preach in that church that night, and when I did, I stood up front and said, I'm going to take a picture of you guys. I'm showing it to my church back in San Angelo. Check it out, man, right there. Look at that place. We had a generator out back, had four lights in there, and You know, when we get to heaven, man, there's going to be people from all nations in heaven. And you're all going to want to understand one another. You just think you should be in heaven, man. You're going to be meeting people all the time. Like, bro, where are you from, man? Can you imagine somebody going, dude, I'm from the jungle of Peru. I lived up the Amazon. And you're going to be like, how'd you get here? They're going to be like, because of Jesus. Right? And then you're going to say this. Who told you about Jesus? And somebody's going to say, Rodon. Some guy named Rodon. I'm just saying, we ought to be those people. We ought to be those people. God's just looking for somebody to tell somebody else about Jesus. If you're here today, listening online, you don't know Jesus, man, you don't have to wait till Easter. You can do it right now. Because Jesus is available for anybody that's willing to see him for who he is, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and turn from their life and just trust in him, man. Just trust in him. Just to trust in him. The minute you do that, Jesus does all the rest, man. So I'm going to pray us out today. And after I pray, I'm going to dismiss you. But we always at Paul Ann have men and women on each side of our stage that stand over here. The only reason they're there is just to pray with you. So maybe you're out there and going, dude, I really want to get in on this Jesus thing. I don't know how. They're the people to talk to. Or if you're like going, man, I need some healing in my life, they'll pray for you. Because Jesus healed then. Jesus still heals today, man. He sees you. He knows you. He cares about you, man. So I want to pray for us. We'll be dismissed. Father, I pray for everybody in this room. The church of Jesus Christ. What a privilege, man, to know the name of Jesus and to be able to call up on Jesus and worship Jesus, man. We are so blessed. I pray, Father, you would take what's been given to us. And, man, just like Jesus, we could just give it away. Just give it away. Just give it away that you might be glorified by the way we lived our lives. And the people that don't know you, Father, I pray that their eyes would be open to see the greatness of Jesus, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who died for them that they might be free and today might be their day. They might come down like Zacchaeus, experience new life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming today, Paul Ann. I love you guys, man. Next Sunday's Easter. Show up, be ready to go, man, and it's going to be a great day. We'll see y'all then.